This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
We are back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest for this morning is our sister in Christ, Renee Kielhofer. Her title, Do You Believe?
And we've been talking about some of the prophecies surrounding the birth and life of Jesus Christ that have been fulfilled. And as I said before the break, many scholars have counted up as many as 456 very specific prophecies that pertain to the birth and life and death of Jesus Christ, and all that have been fulfilled. And for many non-believers, all of just that evidence is still not enough. I mean, I literally watched a YouTube video the other night of, it was Ben Shapiro, very smart guy. You know, he's very conservative. And so, I listen to him a lot because he can put people in their place. Well, he was interviewing a biblical scholar. And, you know, Ben Shapiro is Jewish, mm-hmm. and very devout. And so the guy asked him, you know, who Jesus was. And he said that he was a very charismatic, religious, political leader who led a revolt against the Roman government and was crucified for it, as he should have been. I was like gasping for air there. I mean, I know that Jewish people are blinded and they to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, but that's different than hearing them say it.
Like that. You know?
Yes, like that. Like he was some rebel or something, you know, and when he finished it, you know, with as he should be, I was just like, oh, my heart was just like pounding, and I thought, man, he, you know, when are his blinders going to come off? Because this is a very, very, very intelligent, intuitive man, and it was just like so evident that he was blinded, just like the word says, that they have been blinded until the time that the fulfillment of the Gentiles would be complete. And we talked about this last month when we talked about why Israel matters, but it was just evidence that word is true, you know, when he would say that. But It's just a ridiculous claim. And because Jesus was unique, there were many good religious leaders throughout history, but every other religious leader has been sinful and in need of a savior. Only Jesus was sinless, and he did not need a savior because he was the savior. So that sets him apart from everyone else. And also, I thought this was so cool. This just like really got me excited. There is not another single religious leader anywhere in the world, past or present, in any religion who had such intricate details of their birth prophesied. Their birth was not even prophesied, let alone intricate details about it. There are no prophecies that alerted the world that Muhammad was coming. There are no prophecies that alerted the world that Joseph Smith was coming, David Koresh was coming, Charles Taz Russell was coming, or I can't say this, Siddhartha Gautama, the founder of Buddhism. There's no prophecies that predict the birth or alert the world that these religious leaders are coming at all. At all. None whatsoever. And they all founded religions like Islam, Mormonism, Branch Davidians, Jehovah Witness, or Buddhism, the founder of Hinduism. None of those religions include prophecies about their founder being born at all. Yet, the Old Testament pinpointed numerous intricate details about the birth and life of the Son of God and the Savior of the world centuries before they were fulfilled. I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that we knew was coming from day one. Isn't that cool? I mean, what are the odds? Like, first off, anyone can make predictions. But having those prophecies fulfilled, that's vastly different. I mean, we know in some of these religions, there have been a lot of prophecies made that did not come to pass. But we have yet to have one in the Word that has not come to pass or is not in the making. And we are beginning to be able to see it mm-hmm. in the making, which is so cool. And the details about Jesus, the prophecies, are more detailed. The more detailed they are, then the much less likely it is that they will be fulfilled, like, to the letter. I mean, what's the likelihood of a person predicting today the exact city in which the birth of a future leader will take place, say, in the 22nd century? And that's exactly what the prophet Micah did 700 years before the Messiah was born. Furthermore, what is the likelihood of predicting the precise manner of death that a new, unknown leader would experience 1,000 years from now, a manner of death that is presently unknown, and it's unknown for hundreds of years after it's predicted? Yet David in 1000 BC and predicted Jesus' death on the cross, and Daniel predicted the specific date about 530 years before Christ. Specific details. So if we were to conceive 50 specific prophecies about a person in the future that we would never meet, what is the likelihood that this person will fulfill all 50 of those prophecies? I mean, it's pretty slim. But how much less likely would it be if half of those prophecies were about what other people would do to them? Because then it's about more than one person. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, how does someone arrange to be born into a specific family? in a specific city where their parents don't even actually live. How does one arrange their own death, and specifically by crucifixion, and how does one arrange to be betrayed by a friend? How do you do that? I mean, it would be impossible for these prophecies to be faked. It's impossible. So I did a study this week, or read an article. I say did a study. Somebody else did the study. I read the results. So that's me doing the study. Okay, we've already talked about how there were 356 or 456 prophecies counted about the life of Jesus. So say we take 8 of those prophecies, the likelihood of just 8 of those prophecies being fulfilled in the person, Jesus Christ, is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's 17 zeros. And that, we're just talking 8. And so in their study, they took it up to 48. And the study is very detailed. Like they took each prophecy, they studied the prophecies, they studied the historical evidence backing up that the prophecies were fulfilled. And they did this in, it was a college, I forget which college, but they did this, you know, like as a group study, and they dissected every detail of the prophecy and every detail of the fulfillment. And so they did this with 8 prophecies and then did the mathematical calculations and came up with 1 in 10 to the 17th power. So then they were like, well, what would happen if we took like 48? What would that be? And when they got to 48, the mathematical probability is 1 in 10 to the 157th power. And by the time you get to something like that, 157,000 zeros, they just conclude it's impossible. It's impossible. And they're only talking about 458, and there's still more than 400 that were fulfilled. That blows my socks off. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you talk about the mathematical probability and conclude that it's just impossible. So their study, in conclusion, this is what they said. Any man who rejects Christ as the Son of God is rejecting a fact, proved perhaps more absolutely than any other fact in the world. Is that not cool?
That is awesome.
I think that is so cool. And I mean, wow, blows my socks off. So that takes me back to those prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. Listen, we can bank on that. It is going to happen because it was mathematically impossible for the things that have already happened to happen. So we know God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he's going to do. And I think that's so cool. And I know Monica is chomping at the bit to share some scripture over here, and I think it just fits in perfectly because the things that are yet to come that we are beginning to see, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, people, because God is who he says he is. So he is faithful. If you need healing, you're going to be healed because God already paid the price in his word, and he said, I'm doing that for you. So you can be healed, and that's healed anywhere you hurt, whether that's physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, that's yours. And so if you need provision, God's paid for that at Calvary. It's yours. And it's a matter of fact. It's not even a matter of faith. It's a matter of fact. Yes. So that's cool. So my question is, like, do you believe? Because the facts are there. Go ahead, Monica.
So whenever the Lord brought this to my remembrance, I was on Facebook. Don't turn us off yet, y'all. Just hold on. And when you brought up Buddha and all that, mm-hmm. the Lord reminded me of this video I watched on Facebook, and I want y'all to hear it.
Okay.
Bear with me while I get the volume up so that y'all can hear it. And then...
Now you will never catch someone using the names Muhammad, Hope for Hansen's, Buddha, Allah, Joseph Smith, Charles Darwin. You will never catch anyone using their names as a cuss word because they're all false gods. And most of the people who do this are self-proclaiming atheists or say that all religions lead to the same thing. What you don't realize is every time you use the Lord's name in a profane manner, you're acknowledging his existence and you're proving that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only way to the Father. I say this out of love. It does not matter if you're atheist, if you're Jewish, if you're Islamic, agnostic, whatever. You will not be any of those things the second after you die, because you're going to come face to face with Jesus on Judgment Day. And you're going to realize that you spent your whole life denying and mocking the one man who could have saved you from burning in hell for all of eternity.
Wow, that's powerful. That is powerful. And that is so true. I've never thought about it like that.
And
so
I want y'all to know. I want you to know. Jesus is so real.
Amen.
And if you ask me how I know, it's because I am. I am. I am an eyewitness. I am an eyewitness.
Amen.
My name, I am Monica Lovell, and I have been raised from the dead. I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen the heavens open. I've seen him ride down on clouds. I have taken him by the hand. I have been resurrected from the dead. And I want you to know, today is the day for salvation.
That's it.
It is never too late. The word says, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit on all people.
That's it.
I want you to know you have the Spirit of God within you, like it or not.
That's it.
And I want you to know today is the day.
And you are in all.
You are.
Amen.
If you are a human being and you are on this earth, you're in all.
Yeah.
And I want you to know today, God loves you.
Amen.
Jesus loves you enough to die on that cross for you.
Amen.
And I want you to know, he is knocking on your very heart. He wants you to make room for him. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get cleaned up first.
That's right.
You don't have to be perfect.
That's it.
Because the perfect one will move in and make you perfect in the sight of God.
You don't even have to understand it. Just know God is your answer. Jesus is your answer. Mm-hmm. Whatever the question is, the answer is Jesus. And you don't have to understand the years of theology and the centuries of prophecy. You don't have to understand that. Just cry out, Jesus. And you have said everything you need to say. He's there. That's all he's waiting on, is for you to call on him. And everything changes. Everything changes. God is so cool. He's so cool. And it's a fact. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. It's a proven fact. He is who he says he is. He did what he said he did. He died on the cross. He gave his son. You know, there's a part of me that thinks we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas, and it's such an exciting thing because that's our hope. That's the birth of our hope for all eternity. And heaven rejoiced. But there's a part of me that thinks that God the Father, while he was rejoicing, he was still hurting because he knew what his son was going to walk through for the next 33 years. Mm-hmm. And You know, I think that's why God made the world like he did with, you know, parents and having children, and so that we could just scratch the surface of understanding how much he loves us. Because I have a son. I can't imagine sacrificing my son or my grandson for anybody. I can't imagine that. But yet my God did that for me, because I'm his baby girl and he wants me home with him. And he knew that's the only way that I could get there. And he did that for everyone, for all. For God so loved the world. And you are a whosoever. You are an all. I am an all. And because I have asked Jesus into my heart, committed my life to him, and said, you know, it's more than just believing. The demons believe and they tremble. It says that in Hebrews. It's believing and committing your life to Christ and allowing him to just take over and submitting your will to his will. And that's called a relationship. You know, we say, oh, you know, I want to be in control of my life. Do you? Do you? Have you seen that little meme where the little person is standing there all frustrated and she said, what do you mean I'm supposed to trust or follow my heart when I'm the one who got me in this mess? You know, it's like we all need something beyond ourselves, because we can't do it ourselves. And we are, in fact, ignorant of what we need to do. So we need a savior. We need a savior to cleanse us of our sins, but we also need a savior to save us from ourselves on a daily basis. And so it's called a relationship. And if you've ever had a relationship, you know that you don't stomp around saying, I want my way all the time. And that relationship flourishes and prospers and lasts. And hopefully when you marry someone that you can feel like you can trust their judgment, because they have your best interests at heart. That's the way God designed it to be. We've allowed Satan to pervert it. But if you marry someone who you believe loves you with all their heart, and that your well-being is their first thought, then you will trust their judgment even when you don't agree. Because you'll think, I know he's doing this for me. And it's that's the way it is in our relationship with the Lord. It's like we understand that he loved us so much, he would sacrifice his own son for me. Do you think he's going to lead me in the wrong direction now? You know, no, he doesn't want his son's sacrifice to be for nothing. So obviously he's got my best interests at heart if he would give his child to adopt me in my place. That it's just more than my brain can imagine. So we have to just go back to where we sum up, that God is who he says he is. That's a fact. He loves us. Jesus loves us. We can trust him, and that's what I'm going to do. Amen. Just do it.
I said in the Bible, it says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land. And streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring, and my
God.
Blessing on your descendants. They
God.
Will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Isaiah 44:3-4.
You know, that's a word for somebody who's standing in the gap for their children or grandchildren right now. I believe that's a word for them. And God's taking care of it. He wants you to know he's heard your prayers, and he's doing things you can't see, but you will see it come to pass because he's working in their lives. I believe that.
Amen. You know, Renee, at 12, the circumstances and situation does not matter. At 12 years old, I died. And I seen Jesus. He is so real. Mm-hmm. So real. He stood in the gap. Mm-hmm. He filled the gap.
Yeah.
For us to come back home.
That's good.
Let us stand in the gap for those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If God has asked you to do something,
just do it.
Just do it. Don't wait for the details.
Yep.
Don't demand.
And don't try to reason it out. Yeah. Just do it. I don't, that literally happened to me Monday. I felt like God told me to just do something, and I kind of hesitated a minute because it was going to mean that I was going to have to walk around and get in front of some people, and it was going to be obvious, and I was like, you know, I don't want it to look like I'm trying to, you know, and immediately when I had that thought, God moved that person back to the end of the line where she was right by me, and I was like, okay, and I'm not even going to think about it, I'm just going to do it. And so I just did it, and I, you know, I wasn't like, oh, you know, I did this or whatever. I just did it, and I just put it out of my mind. I got in my car, and I started home, and I got about halfway home, and I have this little thing with God. I call it my God wink, but and it's an Oregon tag, and there's a whole long story to that. But every time I see an Oregon tag, I know God is working, God is moving. He heard me, and he's whatever's on my mind, he's taking care of. And I made the curve onto Van Buren, headed out to Canute, and there was a car waiting to turn on right there in front of the police station, Oregon tag. And I just started crying. I was like, thank you, God. And he was like, you heard me, and I've heard you. It's all going to be okay. And it was just so cool. It's so cool how God does that. And so I don't remember where I was going with that story. But anyway, be quick to obey, because we can reason ourselves mm-hmm. out of a blessing. Because for the rest of the week, the things that were really weighing on me that I had to face yesterday and today, I've had such peace about, because I know God heard me. And he's taking care of it. And so it's all going to be okay. I'm going to get through it all. It's going to be fine.
Amen. Amen.
God is good. So my challenge is, do you believe? And if you do, celebrate this Christmas season like your Savior's been born, because he has.
Amen. That was a lot of meat there. I knew there was, I didn't know how many prophecies, but that's pretty awesome that you brought this word this morning. That was good stuff.
I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch it.
What you said about Ben Shapiro, what he said, that just shocks me, because even I've watched people that are of Islam faith. Mm-hmm. And they believed that Jesus was a prophet.
Yes.
And they acknowledged that he rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So it surprised me that
said that. Romans says that they are blinded.
Yes.
They've been blinded in mm-hmm. order that the fulfillment of the Gentiles could be complete. And so we know that because we read it, but when we encounter it, it just blows you out of the water, because, I mean, he has to be blinded because he's an intelligent, intuitive man mm-hmm. who loves God, just mm-hmm. doesn't believe in Jesus. You know, he doesn't go, and Jewish people don't go past the Torah, the first right. five books of the Bible. So the prophecies are all after that. And so yeah. they don't study the prophecies and the fulfillment and all of the, you know, they just don't believe that stuff. And so it just blows me out of the water that a man who is so intelligent and so factual about things has not come to that conclusion. But I believe in with all my heart that he is the perfect example of that blinded mm-hmm. Jewish person, and that he will not even entertain the possibility in his mind that it's real because he's blinded to it. Mm-hmm. And so there are so many more out there. And that's why we need to cover our Jewish brothers and sisters mm-hmm. in prayer every day mm-hmm. because it's like having a handicapped sibling that you're protective of. You know, if you had a physical sibling that was blind and you went to, say, the mall, you would be very protective and very, you know, in tune with where they're at all the time to make sure that they were safe because they were in a strange environment or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's how we need to be with our Jewish brothers and sisters, because they can't help it. And they will have their eyes open once the completion of the Gentiles has been fulfilled, mm-hmm. then their eyes will be opened and they will understand and acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah. But until that time, we need to be very protective of them. And that's why I think God instructs us to pray mm-hmm. for peace in Jerusalem, is because we need to pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters and just, you know, cover them in prayer, and especially now with mm-hmm. what's going on over there.
I've been praying that they have dreams like like those Muslim men in Gaza. Did you see that?
No.
There were 200 of them that came to Christ because they had dreams on the same night about Christ. Hallelujah. So wow. I had been praying for that for both sides.
Wow, yes.
That Jesus would be revealed yes. in the midst of all of that.
Yes, that's good. Oh, that's exciting.
If we have a minute, the Lord had me bring some things last week or this week. Anyway, he had me bring 3 mason jars. One is empty. That's life. That's us being. And this is. Help me. That's me, my life. And this water is my ways. How I was raised, I grew up, choices I've made. Mm-hmm. And this jar has oil, and it represents the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, and His ways. Mm-hmm. I'm shaking.
Wow.
He showed me this illustration as we were talking. I've been wondering when he was going to have me use them. And today is the day. Water represents my ways, and the oil represents His ways. They don't mix, y'all.
No matter what you do.
They don't mix. Quit trying to do it your way. Invite the Holy Spirit to move in you. He's there. He wants to move so bad. just say, Holy Spirit, I give you free reign. Move how you want to move. Show me your ways. Separate my way from your way, Lord. It doesn't mix. Help me learn your ways and help me. Help me. Help me learn your ways and put your ways into action now in my life.
Amen.
Because your word says your ways are higher than mine.
And I like how the oil's on top.
Mm-hmm. Covering.
Yes.
Our ways.
And intervening. Mm-hmm. You know, that word intervening is like coming in between you and danger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, changing your path, changing your circumstance. And so that's what I see when I look at that, is like it's intervening and covering me and protecting me down here from anything else that comes in this jar or in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a good illustration.
We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and coming and sharing with us.
Thank you. This has
been a good word, Renee. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our beautiful sister in Christ, Renee Kilhoffer, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.